Ancient Sumer, circa 35 BCE, like most of the world at the time, faced a number of challenges in operating a kingdom and maintaining a functional society. One key function essential to the survival of the people was planting, raising, harvesting, and distributing food crops. People had learned much earlier what made crops like wheat and barley grow, but distributing the harvest remained a significant challenge. Every community had evolved its own methods for accomplishing this, most of them far from efficient. In order to prevent starvation, kingdoms needed some technology for optimizing the growth and distribution of food. What was needed was a means to capture information about the volume of crops and make decisions about how to distribute food. The technology that partially solved this problem was writing, in cuneiform script, usually on clay tablets. Now the decisions were clear. Writing captured them for execution. But another innovation was needed to distribute the information and ensure the appropriate actions were taken. The answers, the rulers of Sumeria found, was a system of representatives who could apply and enforce standards across the kingdom, an administrative bureaucracy. Sumerian rulers began to use government administrators to improve and standardize the distribution of food during the Uruk period, 4100 to 2900 BCE. The bureaucratic application of standards led to fewer deaths from starvation, longer lifespans, and a healthier life overall. This structure for managing basic societal necessities was so successful that rulers began to apply it to other areas. Gradually, as an understanding of the benefits of this new innovation spread, administrative bureaucracy spread through China and Eurasia. The countries that adopted an administrative bureaucracy prospered and grew. In the most successful systems, bureaucrats received specialized training and became part of a professional hierarchy within which they could advance to higher positions over the course of a career. These civil servants often replaced older systems based on favoritism and corruption. Thomas Meadows, a 19th century British consul to China, attributed that empire's long survival to, quote, "the good government which consists in the advancement of men of talent and merit only." But bureaucracy has a downside. Today, we're all familiar with the ways in which it interferes with the individual productivity and stifles creativity. Even as it spreads known best practices, encouraging systemic productivity, bureaucracy stymies the creation of the next generation of better practices by limiting the dissemination of new, untested methods. Lacking a means to evaluate the large number of competing new ideas, it tends to suppress them all. This has long been the case. In the 12th century, Italian bankers and merchants used the Roman numeral system for accounting and calculation. Roman numerals were difficult to manage, requiring a special table abacus to perform addition and subtraction. As a result, a unique trade craft emerged for those who could still master this skill. Those educated practitioners became an essential part of all banking, commerce, and government services. But in the 1228 edition of the Book of Calculations, the mathematician Fibonacci introduced Arabic numerals to European scholars. This new number system, which was much easier to deal with, quickly spread to merchant and banking leaders. They converted from Roman to Arabic numerals in droves, rapidly rendering the table abacus obsolete. Fearing the loss of their livelihoods, the abacus tradesmen petitioned city governments to stop the use of Arabic numerals, and the bureaucracy, seeing only the immediate negative impacts of the change, responded by siding with the established practices and outlawing the use of the new, disruptive, and in their eyes, destructive number system. Then, as now, bureaucracy defended the entrenched positions and attempted to stop the adoption of new and better methods, which in the long run would benefit and enrich all of society. This, then, is the central contradiction of bureaucracy. It is a central innovation that may serve to suppress innovation. Sociologist Max Weber, who was among the first to describe the power of bureaucracy, believed it to be the most rational means of exercising control over human beings. He saw that the material destiny of the masses of society was tied to the continuous functioning of the bureaucratic apparatus. Without it, he argued, the core protections and support that define a government and a society would lose their efficiency. But bureaucracy can be, and frequently is, misapplied. The precision, stability, and uniformity it provides are essential for maintaining an army, enforcing the law, operating public transportation, providing reliable water and sanitation, administering consistent taxation, and enabling sustainable growth and expansion. But its success in these essential areas leads to application to all endeavors without regard for the size or purpose of the project. When its rigid rules are imposed out of context, it can create as many problems as it solves, or even stop a good project in its tracks. Bureaucracy is necessary to support progress, but at the same time, it is uninspiring. Its rigid processes and standards snuff the spark of imagination, lack consideration for the human condition, and do not tolerate change. John Stuart Mill believed that, quote, bureaucracy stifles the mind and tends to become a pedanticracy. Weber warned that bureaucracy leads to a polar night of icy darkness in which the rationalization of human life traps individuals in a soulless cage of rule-based, rational control. Robert Merton described it as leading to trained incapacity and over-conformity. 8 centuries after the advent of Arabic numbers in the West, Italian merchants simply ignored the prohibition. We still struggle to find a way to balance the pluses and minuses of this very efficient form of organization. It is not clear what the final outcome of this struggle will be for our society, as even the older societies of Europe and Asia have not arrived at the final stage of bureaucratic control. It would seem that over-bureaucratization would lead either to social and economic stagnation or to a revolt against government control. An alternative in which bureaucracy is limited in an effort to foster and support innovation would appear to be desirable, though it's not clear that such a balance is possible, even though bureaucracies themselves recognize innovation as an activity needing protection, as evidenced by functions such as patent systems. These attempt to apply bureaucratic and legal processes to protect new ideas so that their creators can reap the benefits and remain encouraged to innovate. This protection addresses the tension between providing for the public good and protecting the rights of an individual. Corporate bureaucracies have also struggled with this balance. Some have tried to isolate innovation from the general bureaucracy to allow it to grow unimpeded. The establishment of separate R&D departments in dedicated facilities created islands that are free from some bureaucratic control, but without triggering dissent in departments that don't have similar exemptions. More recently, companies as diverse as Lockheed and Apple have created internal skunkworks operations to achieve similar goals. These experiments suggest that separation and compartmentalization of work functions in ways that allow the organization to tailor levels of bureaucratic control to each function's unique needs for levels of bureaucratic control is essential for realizing the benefits of both bureaucracy and innovation. From this perspective, it is easy to see that bureaucracy is a tool like any other, one that must be applied properly to provide a benefit. The success of bureaucracy in one function does not necessarily recommend its full application to all functions. Finding the balance requires acknowledging that fact and finding ways to limit the reach of bureaucracy where it is not conducive to productivity.